Let's open the scriptures again to Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now let's go over to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now over to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Now we'll turn over to chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 24. And when they had heard that they lifted up their voices to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is therein, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together, against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now we'll just turn over to one more verse, over into James, James chapter 5, verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not upon the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. May the Lord add his blessing to these lovely portions of his word. As you would have gathered by our reading tonight, the reading is concerning prayer. And you know, as I move about amongst the people of God, there's a great concern that has come upon me. And the great concern is this, that there is a lack of prayer in the assemblies of God's people today. Not only in the assemblies of God's people, but there's a lack of prayer in amongst evangelical Christians today. You know, they've got plenty of everything that's going. Plenty of activity. Plenty of this. Plenty of that. Plenty of young people's work. Plenty of Sunday school work. Plenty of rally. And plenty on for the old people. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty, in real prayer, it's almost virtually nil. I don't know what it's like in this assembly here. I haven't been associated with this assembly here, as you know. But I have with a lot of you, dear Christians, here. But this one thing is evident about us amongst Christian circles today, and that is there is a lack of prayer. I oftentimes wonder why, when we read the scriptures, there is so much said concerning prayer. And we've only got to read through the Old Testament as well as through the New, and we will find that time and time and time again, the emphasis is on the fact of prayer. As we read through the Old Testament, we see where those men of God, they literally hung on to God and prayed. And God came down in a mighty way. When we get into the New Testament, we see exactly the same thing. But what has happened? Have we become mediocre in our Christian life and experience? Why, even our previous brother exhorted us to pray for these meetings which are coming and which are still in the future this year. I wonder how many of us really know how to pray. Because this is one of the important things that's mentioned in the Word of God. And you know, you may not know your gift. You may not have much of a gift. But there's two gifts everybody has got, I believe. And they are these. One, everybody can pray. I mean every Christian. And secondly, everybody can love. If we've got the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, which we should have. And so the emphasis here before us tonight is with regards to prayer. You know, as I read this wonderful book, I really get absorbed into it. And it becomes part of me, and I get so thrilled as I read those wonderful accounts in the Old Testament of the dealings with his people Israel. Of course, if you don't want this book to have any effect on you, the best way and the best thing to do, don't apply it. Don't even read it. But whatever you do, if you want God to get a grip of you and take you and use you, start applying the words of this book. Start reading it. I wonder how often we sit down and we read the Word of God. Read it to allow it to sink into our soul. And you know, as we read through the New Testament, as we've already read concerning those early disciples, they gathered together to pray. And God shook the very roof above their heads. He shook their roof. They knew how to move the arm of God by prayer. And you know, God has promised to do these wonderful things. He's promised to come in and answer our prayers. And so that's why I read these couple of verses, Acts 18, 19 and 20. Now I know there's a lot of our brethren too, they clutch on to verse 20. And it's a beautiful verse too. And it's in and unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we should gather. But also let us look at the other side too. Because verse 19 is joined to verse 20. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples there in Matthew 18 and verse 19, he said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For a continuation is in process here. Here is prayer in verse 19. And then the continuation. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of you. You know, oft times as I've done my rounds amongst people, in the role of a pastoral situation or whatever it may be, we've stood together to pray. May only be two of us. And you know, I believe even the Lord is in such a situation as that. For where two or three certainly it's the gathering and focus point of every Christian fellowship, or it should be. But at the same time, we've got this promise here with regards to prayer, that if two of us agree on anything here on earth, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Why, the question of the disciples was, Lord, teach us to pray. And there's no doubt a lot of us here perhaps might need to learn afresh how to pray. But I do believe this, my brothers and sisters, tonight, that God has laid down the rules and the regulations, if you like to call it this, with regarding answered prayer. And if we conform to what God has set down in His Word, God has got to answer. Of course, you know, we oftentimes say, well, the Lord hasn't answered my prayer. But He might have said no. We should have said, well, He didn't give me what I wanted. But sometimes the Lord has a no where we want a yes. But nevertheless, if we're in the mind and the will of God, as Elijah was, God must come in and answer prayer according to His precious promises. And God cannot back out of His Word. His Word is yea and amen in our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, tonight, my main aim in coming here this weekend is to challenge everyone in our gathering to renew afresh their prayer life and to get together to start praying as individuals and as a fellowship group. And as we read through the scriptures here, we see time and time again how that the Lord exhorted to pray. There was a time in Luke chapter 11 and also in Luke 18 we have the examples of the importunate prayer. How that in one there was the friend that called at midnight. He called and he woke up his friend. He wanted some loaves to give to a friend who'd call on him. But the friend said, no, I'm in bed. I've tucked my children into bed and we're all in bed. But it says he continued to knock. He continued to knock. He didn't let up. And because of his importunity, the friend arose and gave him his request. Jesus also taught with regards to the unjust judge and the widow woman, how that she'd been up before this judge and he wouldn't avenge her of her enemy or her adversary. But she kept on going. She kept on going until she had her request. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Brothers and sisters, do we believe it? That's the focal point of it all tonight. Do we believe it? Do we believe that God will come in and answer prayer? Well, I'll tell you, He will. If. In John chapter 15 we read there concerning abiding in the vine. Now God has laid down His plans, His purposes, He's laid down His rules and His regulations. And if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have a desire to please Him, you will line up yourself with His Word. And if you want to have answered prayer, and if I was to ask this group before me tonight, how many of you have had answered prayer the last 6 months? I wonder how many hands would go up. How many hands would go up? Have you asked the Lord for something specifically? And He's come in and answered it. He will, if it's according to His will, and you are fulfilling your side of the bargain. John chapter 15, we have there the concept of the vine and the branches. Now Jesus said to His disciples, if ye abide in me, if ye abide in me. Now if we fulfill these requirements, We can ask God for things. We can pray for someone, pray for something else, no matter what. But then, James, I think it is, always would remind us that we can ask amiss because we want to consume it on our own life. We want it just to please this fellow here. The capital I and the pride of life comes into it. But the Lord knows our hearts. And James says, because you ask amiss, the Lord doesn't answer your prayers. And so here in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus lets us into the secret, I believe, of answered prayer. He's given us the promise that if two of us agree as touching anything, He is in the midst, and He'll give it to us. Now, in John chapter 15, He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And that's a good concept to get hold of, my brother and sister. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. But he also went on to say, if ye abide in me, if, maybe you will, maybe you're not, maybe you are. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, this is a profound situation. Can we honestly say, as we search our own souls in the light of a holy God, can we say that we're totally 100% dependent on Him as the branch is to the vine? And that passion fruit vine you've got in your backyard, or that grapevine, go and cut it, sever it just above the root, and what will happen? The whole thing will wither and die. But there's a lot of Christians like that. They've severed, they're not abiding. But when that vine is continually abiding, drawing out that sap from the root, it's lush and it's full of growth. And Jesus said, if ye abide in me, the same concept as the vine and the branch. And that takes a bit of doing. We cannot do this in and under our own strength. We can only do this by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we abide in the vine, he said, if ye abide in me, one. Number two, and my words abide in you. Can we say that? Do we allow the whole Word of God to permeate our being, even though at times it might cut right across this fellow here? And these people out here, and for sure it will, because it's quick and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the joint and the marrow, and the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And my words abide in you. He said, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. My brother, my sister, have you had answered prayer lately? Now as we get over into the New Testament, a little bit further into the book of Acts, we see there how that they prayed. And one of the classic examples of prayer is in Acts chapter 12. It was there John had just been executed. Peter had been thrown into prison. And the disciples had gathered together to pray. How we pray in a state of emergency. How we pray when it's a desperate need situation. But how lax we are. My brother, my sister, when everything's going so well. How lax we are in our prayer life before God. But these people were in a desperate situation. James had lost his head, and now it was Peter's turn. And these disciples, they got together to pray. And you know what? I believe that the very fact of the execution of James jolted these people into reality. And it drove them to their knees. And because of that, and because of their praying,
They moved the hand of God on their behalf. And the angels appeared unto Peter, released the stocks off his feet, took him through the prison doors and let him loose out in the street. That's praying for you. And these people were there desperate before God in prayer. You know, it's a sad thing when God has got to jolt us all. He's got to jolt us to pray. He's got to jolt us sometimes to do something else. But there he had to jolt these people into reality and into the need that was before them. And so they got together to pray. And mind you, they gathered together. Well, the women were together anyway. And then the brothers were somewhere else praying. And so we see there where the angels appeared, they let Peter loose in the street, and there he knocked on the house of the mother of John Mark. And mind you, we have here a classic example of unbelief. As Peter knocked on that door, quietly, it was all quietly, he didn't want all the sergeants and the police and the FBI around, he knocked quietly on the door, and who should come out was young Rose, just a young girl. And when she opened the door, you know, they'd be in there praying. And she'd sneak out and just look through the door. And lo and behold, she couldn't believe her eyes. And you know, she rushed straight back in. And do you think they'd believe her? Never in your life. You know, sometimes it shocks us when God answers our prayers, doesn't it? I've often told this story too. It happened in our own experience when Joanne was only 12 months old. And we were in Serena at this time, and Joanne was like a possum. She could climb up and over and out anything. And I was managing the butcher shop. We were living at the back of it, and both Glenna and Glenna was the cashier, and we were busy this particular day. And Joanne was out the back, and Glenna would slip out now and again to see her. And we had real problems with Joanne packing up and buzzing off. Twice we had practically half the town out looking for her. And so, well, I said to Glennie, you know, there's only one thing for it. Only one thing for it. We've got to start to pray about this. That's all we can do. And so we started to pray. And time went on, and time went on, and time went on. And Glennie said to me one day, have you noticed anything about Joanne? I said, noticed anything about Joanne? Why, what's different about it? Haven't you noticed that she hasn't been wandering off lately? Hasn't, and then it struck us. We'd asked the Lord to come in our little family situation. And you know, he'd answered it immediately. But we were too blind to see it. And how many of us are like this? You know, we pray in unbelief. But sometimes in spite of our unbelief, the Lord comes in and he answers our prayer. And that's only one little example of prayer in our lives. You know, I've had a thrill just recently. I went out to visit some folk out from Townsville there one day. And this couple, they were building their own home. He was a builder, a carpenter, and he'd been out of work. As has been the carpentering industry for quite a while. It's up and it's down, and he was out of work. So he was in the throes of building his own home. He was living in this caravan. It was a friend's caravan they were renting because their own caravan was too small. And they had got to the stage where they wanted the money to buy the iron for the roof. And she said to me, she said, you know, Norm, if we could only sell that van, what's-his-name's at home, we'll be able to put the roof on. And as we walked out to the car that day, the three of us, the husband and the wife stood there, and myself, and we looked at this van. They had a for sale notice up on it. Been for sale for over 2 years. I said to them, I said, have you ever asked the Lord about it? Well, not really. I said, he's interested in you're selling your van just as much as you need the money. I said, what about it now? That was on the Thursday. Well, we prayed that day, and then I went my way. And on the Sunday morning when they arrived there at the meeting, you know, you should have seen their faces. They couldn't tell me fast enough. The Lord answered our prayer. Someone just came in, and they lived up a blind lane too. It wasn't that everybody drove up and down. Someone happened to go in there, see the for sale notice,
and they went in and bought, gave them the price that they wanted for their van, and they had the cash in their hand. Isn't that what God wants to do for you and for me? And here we see these dear sisters, they're there praying. And Peter's knocking on the door and expecting them to keep quiet. Boy, what a tumult would be in the house. Here's Peter, he's come. And they'd be able to praise God. But he said, go, tell James and the brethren. I don't know what happened to Peter immediately after that, but I reckon he might have went and hid himself. But nevertheless, see the unbelief in the hearts of even these dear people, even though God had driven them down to pray. And we see, even though they were praying, they couldn't believe that God could release the prison doors. Brothers and sisters, how big is your God? That's the burning question. How big is he? You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians he can do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or even think. That's the size of our God. The trouble is, we bring him down to our own size. But our God is the God of the universe. He's the great, almighty, omnipotent, the one who put the sun there, the moon and the stars. The God, so vast, so immense, so great, yet not so big that he doesn't know your individual little problems, and he wants you to pray. I wonder why he wants us to pray. Because he knows anyway what we have need of. Have you ever thought about that? Why does God put the emphasis on prayer? Because he knew those people wanted to sell their caravan. He knew we had a problem with Joanne. He knows that you've got your individual problems, hundreds of them. And yet he tells us to pray for them, pray about it. He tells us to pray for one another and to bear one another's burden. Well, if he knows, why does he want us to pray? Have you ever thought about that? I'll tell you why he wants you to pray. He wants you to pray because he wants you to be 100% dependent on him. And he is not only fitting you, but he's fitting the church, who is destined for the throne, to reign with him. And I believe tonight that God is conforming his people to the image of his Son for yet a specific purpose in the day when he's going to reign in power and great glory. And we're here as it is in the school of faith and also in the school of prayer. And if you pray, and as Jesus taught, as we are dependent on him, as we pray, it does show that we've got an attitude of dependence on Almighty God and on our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's why God wants us to pray. Because he could give it to us. He could send a revival without you and me. He could send showers of blessing. He could send sinners into this meeting if we didn't want to go out and do it. But he hasn't so ordained it that way. He has chosen earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Earthen vessels. And as I look into every face here, everyone different, and yet an earthen vessel for Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, are you depending on him? In the concept of the vine and the branch. And if someone came to your door tonight and told you that the Lord had answered your prayer, would you believe it? Dear people, they couldn't believe their very eyes. They didn't believe it. And yet there they were in earnest prayer before God. But you remember the scripture tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not only of a man, but also a woman too. And I remember reading on one occasion where D.L. Moody once said, when he asked what he needed to hold big crusades, he said, give me a band of old, elderly, praying women. And he knew wherein the source of power lay. And if he could get a group of old ladies that would back him up, ladies that could tap the very resources of God, he knew that mighty things would happen. And brothers and sisters, do you know this? That even tonight, we've got the mighty resources of God at our disposal if we're prepared to tap in. To tap in and get down before God and pray. You know, as individuals, I've been talking generally tonight, but I do believe this also, that not only as it goes for individuals, in our individual prayer life, this is important. Because if we don't pray in our individual home life situation, how can we pray when we come together? Maybe that's the reason why in some of our prayer meetings are such long pauses. Are we praying at home? God wants us to hang on to Him in prayer as a tiny child would her parents. Hang on to God. Pray. Paul says to pray without ceasing. Continual recurring prayer. You haven't altogether been locked in a closet. We haven't altogether been gathered together. But look, as we go about our work, as we're driving the truck, you pull up at the lights, as you're writing something out in the office, you've got a moment. We can lift up our hearts to God. We want to live in an atmosphere of prayer. And then as we do this, we're living in an atmosphere of dependence upon a holy God. And a holy God who wants to give us all that heaven can give. And He does. He wants to bless us. And He wants to come in great blessing on all of us. But His people of Israel refused to pray. They went their own way. And as I think of that verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Do you know the verse? Good verse to learn. If my people who are called by my name, and how many of us here belong to the Lord tonight? I wonder if there's any unbelievers in our meeting tonight. Is there any here in this gathering who know not the Lord Jesus as their own personal Saviour? Well, do you know, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Take Him as your Saviour tonight, and you can enter in to the abundant life, and you can enter in to answered prayer as you hold on to God. But on the other hand, all of us that are His, we belong to Him. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. If Israel would have prayed, look what the difference of the whole nation would have been. If they had gone in unto God. Why, even Joshua. You know, there were those Gibeonites, they came to Joshua. But what happened there? They took him down wholesale. They had their old wine bottles. They had their mouldy bread. They had their ragged-looking clothes. They said, we've come from a far country. They live just over the border. You know what it says? He inquired not of the Lord. He inquired not of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to inquire of God. We need to pray. And if my people, he said, who are called by my name, and this was written at the close of the dedication of Solomon's temple, if the Lord spoke to Solomon, and he was to tell the people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. We need to be humble. You know, the scripture talks about humbling ourselves. Never ask the Lord to humble you, because sometimes He might be severe. Let us all, each one, humble ourselves before a holy and a righteous God, and then pray. And what did He say here? And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. You know, God wants to come in and bless us. But are we ready for it? Is our heart in tune with Him? Or are we still clamoring after the things of this earth? The material things. There's nothing wrong with material things. We're in a material body. We've got to have material things. But it's our attitude to these things in the light of God's word and what he has done for us that counts. God can entrust men with literally millions and millions of dollars. But perhaps he couldn't trust me with 25. So he wouldn't give it to me. But he might give it to another brother 5 million. Or might be vice versa. He might be able to trust me with 10 million. He might only be able to trust some of you with 50 cents. But it's our attitude to it, you see, what counts. And I believe this, that if we will humble ourselves before God, seek his face and pray, and then we'll see God start to move in our assemblies today. You know, we form committees. As soon as anything's on, we form a committee. We rush into a corner, we get together and we talk about it. We've got a youth committee. We've got some other committee. We've got something else. All may be all very well. But how many of us rush in to pray? Rush in to pray. How important it is. You know, as an assembly now, I believe it's just as important. Just as important that we all be in one accord as they were in the early church. Check out those two verses. They were with one accord in one place. And I believe as a church of God here in East Bundaberg tonight, if you want to go forward in strength, gaining strength and momentum, don't rush into committees. Don't rush into programs. But first, get down to pray. Get down and tap the resources of God by prayer. And I believe if we can get a few men and women together to hang on to God on behalf of the assembly, on behalf of the unbelievers round about us, we'll see mighty things done for God. If we want to see a revival, which we all do, amongst the people of God in this city of Bundaberg, or in Maryborough, or Townsville, wherever it might be, we've got to get together to pray. You know, it was Israel had to come before the Lord as one man. I believe this is just as important in our assembly life, that we all get together as an assembly to pray. And as I read through this book here, I find where Israel had come together before God. And even in the days of Nehemiah, they came before God as one man. I believe this is very, very important. And just as important as we come together to pray as one man in an assembly capacity as it is for us to pray in our individual closets. I believe it's just as important. And I challenge every one of us tonight on this. As an assembly, are we prepared to get together once in a while, everybody, forsake what we're doing? We've got a night, set a night. Are we prepared to set it aside for God to get together to pray? In the early church, they were with one accord and they continued together steadfastly in prayer. You know, I was speaking along these lines on one occasion, and after the meeting, I was surprised at some of the comments that people came and said to me. Well, there's quite a few came and said, yes, Norm, this is just what we want. We believe the Bible teaches it. But others said, look, it's all right. You haven't got to get together in this assembly. We can have groups going here, there and everywhere. They're good. And keep them going. But at the same time, I believe God wants us, as an assembly, to get together to pray. And brothers, listen. When you come together, pray. When you come together, don't have long pauses. And this in itself will kill off the younger brethren. Look, come together in an attitude of prayer with a prepared heart to pray.
Maybe that God might jolt us into reality. As those early disciples, they came together, Peter and John, they'd been taken up before these people because of the way that the Lord had healed that crippled man as they went up into the temple. And they brought them before the Jews and the religious people of Israel, and there they belted them, let them go, and they all got together and rejoiced together and prayed for boldness that the Lord would come in. And the Lord shook the mighty building above them, and he gave visible signs that he'd come in and answer their prayer. Why, in Acts chapter 6, 2, we have there where they had a problem with regards to Grecian widows, and the disciples said, seek ye out seven men, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the word of God and the ministry. It was important that they get together to pray. I wonder, could we be challenged tonight on this? This assembly, could you come together once in 3 months, the whole assembly, set a night 3 months ahead? Could you come together to pray before God? And you sisters, you can do what Aaron and Hur did. They held up the arms of Moses. When the battle was on down the valley, when Joshua was confronted against the Amalekites, here was Moses up on the hill praying, and his hands would fall down. He held his hands towards heaven, and he prayed. And they retired and they fell down. So they propped them up under two men. And in that same principle, you can lift up our brethren's hands before God. If we come together before God in this attitude, maybe only we pray for four or five things. Lift them up and ask God to come in and answer. And hang on to God in prayer. I believe we'll see a revival amongst us, not only in this assembly, but in other assemblies who are prepared to get down before God and pray. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We seek his face as an assembly, as we come together as one man. And you know what the Lord said in Jeremiah chapter 33 and 3. Jeremiah chapter 33 and 3. The Lord's phone number. Do you ever know that? JER333. That's the Lord's phone number. Who knows what Jeremiah chapter 33 and 3 is? Anybody in our... Hello, one brother. What is it, brother? Isn't that fantastic? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Brothers and sisters, how can we afford not to pray? How can we afford not to get down before God? Look, God will come in a mighty way. He will answer prayer. Let us first claim the promise that he will. Let us first see that we're right before him, because that's what God requires. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, as we come before God, as we abide in him, and his word abides in us, you know what the first thing it's going to do? It's going to clean this fella up and make him in a fit condition to listen to the voice of God. And we'll know God's will in the matter, and like Elijah, we'll pray. And Elijah prayed that the rains wouldn't come, and God withheld the rain. 3.5 years later, he prayed again that God would send it, and even before the clouds had come over the sky, he said to his servant, "Up. We must be going, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." He prayed in faith, and God came in and answered his prayer. Listen, my brother, my sister, why not give it a go?
Why not take God at His word? Why not, as an assembly, set a date that everyone, young and old alike, come before the Lord and pray. And brethren, come prepared. Come with your hearts already prepared in an attitude of prayer, so that when we come, we won't embarrass the sisters with our silence. Brethren and sisters, let us pray.